Okay, sorry. Okay, that's where we're going. So the Schrödinger equation, H psi equals E psi. Well, this is the time independent. Remember, we're not have time as a variable. Okay, now, so it's describing stationary states. It doesn't mean the electron is stationary. The electron is moving, right? But we're but the way its distribution is not changing in time, right? Although the individual electron is moving, its probability distribution is fixed. Okay, now, on the right, that means the total energy, E is the total energy, multiplied by the value of this wave function, psi. So that'll have different values for different positions of the electron, right? Because psi is a function of the position of the electron. But E is a constant. Okay, that's E times psi. But on the left, that is not H times psi. It's something that physicists did to confuse people ever after. Right? That H is called an operator. It's actually a recipe for doing something with psi. And this, you know, physicists like to write things as condensed and elegantly as possible. Right? And a guy named Hamilton in the early 19th century in Ireland did this for mechanics, where you had kinetic and potential energy, and he summarized it all together in this very simple notation. H was a way of getting the sum of the potential and kinetic energy. And this was modeled on that. And we've paid the price for it ever since by wondering what operators are and what a Hamiltonian is, right? But I'll show you in the next slide what it is. Okay, so we can, since on the right it's E times psi, we can divide through by psi. That's no problem. But we can't cancel the psi's on the left because it's not multiplication in the numerator. Okay, now, what it's going to say is kinetic energy plus potential energy equals the total energy. And if things aren't changing, the total energy is constant. Okay, an isolated system. Okay, if it were interacting with light and changing, that would be something else, if it were absorbing energy, but we're not talking about that. Okay, so the left, this H psi over psi, is some kind of formula that allows you to get kinetic energy and potential energy. Now, the potential energy part of it is really easy. That's, in fact, given. If you know that you have certain charges on the electron in the nucleus, right? You can use Coulomb's law and calculate the potential energy, which is a function of the positions. But it's an easy function of the positions. It's 1 over r squared times the product of the charges. Right? So that's easy. And they found out that Coulomb's law was just fine. You didn't have to worry about it changing at short distance. Okay, but the kinetic energy is something else again. Now, you've all taken physics. Many of you have taken AP physics. How do you calculate kinetic energy? What's the formula? Pardon me? 1 half mv squared. Okay. So this is kinetic energy, some constant that will get things in the right units, and then a sum of the kinetic energy over all the particles. So the sum over I is the sum of every particle. Every particle has a kinetic energy, and the kinetic energy of that particle is 1 half times the mass of the particle times its velocity squared. That's straightforward. Everybody agree on that? Right? And that constant just adjusts so that you get it in the right units, the energy you're talking about. And that was fine for our great grandparents, but it turns out not to be true. Okay? The kinetic energy actually is this. It's a constant that'll get things in the right units, times the sum over for the kinetic energy of every particle. That seems fine. Times this. Now, why does that look funny? It's 1 over the mass instead of the mass. That looks weird. And that really looks weird. Right? Those are second derivatives. Remember, psi is a function, so it has some shape. Right? And you can see, and what's the first derivative? When you see a function, what's the first derivative mean if you look at the graph? It's the slope, right? What's the second derivative of these things? It's the curvature. So this is how curved that function is. So the kinetic energy has to do with how curved the function is. And not only how much it's curved in the x direction, but also how much it's curved in the y direction, and how much it's curved in the z direction. It's a function of three coordinates, yeah, for each particle.
So, as the bigger the particle, or the more massive the particle, the less energy it has?
If it has the same shape. Okay. The shape may change, too. Psi may change. Okay, and you then divide by this number, psi. Remember, you're evaluating at this some particular position for the particles, right? And when they're at that position, they have a certain value for psi, and you divide by that number. So the top is how curved it is, and the bottom is how big psi is, right? And then just for good measure, you put in a negative number. Now you say, whoa, we can't get negative kinetic energy. Ah, but these things on the right may be negative. Right, so it may actually be okay and come out positive. But that's a negative constant. Okay, now, this is pretty complicated in three dimensions, and especially in 3n dimensions. Right? So let's start out by just getting our intuitive feet on the ground by having one particle and just one dimension. Right? And there are realistic applications for things like this. It's not just a pedagogic exercise. But let's start with one particle in one dimension. And then we've got minus a constant times 1 over the mass of the particle times the curvature of that function divided by the value of the function. Okay? So there it is. It's minus a constant times the curvature over psi. Now, suppose you multiplied psi by 2. So the denominator gets twice as big. What will happen to the curvature of a function if you multiply it by 2? Derek?
Well, it just gets scaled up.
Yeah, it's as if you'd written it on a sheet of rubber and you stretch the function out. So instead of looking like this, it now looks like this. So it's twice as high, but it's also twice as curved. So what will the kinetic energy be if you multiply by a constant? It'll be the same thing. Right, the scaling will apply, both numerator and denominator cancel out. So you can always multiply a wave function by a constant. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't change the kinetic energy. Okay, so I tend to say that this involves the shape of psi, not just its value. Right, these curvatures. So if I scale it, doesn't mean anything. Okay, or you could say I can scale it arbitrarily. I can say it has a value of 1 at this position, and then it'll have corresponding values of other positions. I just multiply it by some number. Okay, now, you're going to have to, in science, you solve problems, right? So what kind of problem do you solve in quantum mechanics? You're given something, and you have to find something. So what are you given, and what do you have to find? Okay? You're given a set of particles, like the particles in an atom, the nucleus and the electrons, or in the cholesterol molecule, or DNA, or something, a lot of particles. Okay? So you're given a set of particles. That means you know their masses, because remember, this kinetic energy is going to require the mass of every particle. You're given that. And the potential energy law that they operate under. That will allow you to calculate the potential energy, right? So it could be Coulomb's law if you have charged particles. If you have something held by some kind of microscopic spring, it could be Hooke's law, or it could be a Morse potential if you're interested in the motion of nuclei held by a chemical bond. It could be any, but you're given it. That's the important thing. You're given the mass, and you're given the potential energy law. Okay? So, for example, for one particle in one dimension, it could be you're looking at a proton, one atomic mass unit is the mass, and it could be held by a spring, Hooke's law. Okay, so you're looking at a proton vibrating held by a spring. Okay, that could be the problem. So anyhow, you're given a set of particles, which means masses and the potential energy law. And what do you have to find? What you have to find is the wave function so that Schrödinger's equation will work. It solves Schrödinger's equation. So that, now it's a function, remember, of the positions of the particles. In our case, the first case is just one particle in one position, right? One dimension, okay? And it has to, the psi has to be such that H psi over psi is the same everywhere. Because remember, h psi over psi is the potential plus the kinetic energy. And the total energy, and the total energy is constant. So as this particle moves along, its potential energy changes. But at the same time, psi is changing in its amplitude and in its curvature. And psi has to be this magic function so that the change in its amplitude, which is in the denominator of the kinetic energy, and in its curvature, which is in the numerator, that changes in that quotient exactly cancel the changes in the potential energy. Right? Because as you go from place to place, the potential energy changes. Right? So you can imagine that such functions exist, but finding them is something else again. Henry?
What is the output of
psi? What is the output?
We know what the input of psi is. What's the output
of psi? I didn't understand the word you said.
Like, psi is a function of position, so position is the input. So what's the output?
It's a number. Psi is a number. That's, you're asking the question all these physicists ask. What is psi? I'm just saying it's a tool. It's a function that gives you numbers. And we'll talk about how to interpret the numbers later. But one thing at a time, okay? Don't try to get ahead of the Nobel laureates. Okay? You remember Schrödinger went to his grave not really understanding this, so I'm not going to be able to tell you today. I'll wait till tomorrow. Okay? Okay. And psi has to remain finite. It can't go to infinity. That's a very important condition. Incidentally, if you're a mathematician, it has to be single-valued, it has to be continuous, and you have to be able to integrate psi squared. But don't worry about that. That's just for people who are crazy about math. Okay? The main thing is that for our purposes, it not go to infinity. Okay, now, what's coming? How are we going to go through this? First, we're going to look at one particle in one dimension. And this is just to get the idea of how quantum mechanics works. Because although it's not hard, it's very unfamiliar. Okay? And then we're going to look at one electron atoms. So we'll go to one particle in three dimensions. And then many electrons, of many electron atoms, and the idea of orbitals, what an orbital is. And then molecules and bonds. And finally, as I said earlier, functional groups and reactivity. So that's the order we'll go through. And we'll get to there by the time for the next exam. Okay, we'll have talked about atoms. And maybe a little bit more, but probably just there. Okay, now, so we have a problem is given to us, particles with mass and potential energy, and for now one particle, one dimension, so just the potential energy is a function of the position along this line and the mass of the particle that's moving, and we want to find the answer, that is psi. We want to find the function that will make Schrödinger's equation apply no matter where the particle is. The changes in the curvature divided by the value, that is in the kinetic energy, will exactly cancel changes in the potential energy as you move along so that the total is constant. Yeah?
I'm just slightly confused. You said potential energy plus kinetic energy is the total energy, and then we have the mass and the potential energy so that the total energy remains constant, right?
So we have to find a psi such that the total energy remains constant.
Is there any relationship between the psi and the kinetic energy then?
Psi, remember the formula, the way you get the kinetic energy is not 1/2 mv². It's a constant minus a constant times the curvature of psi divided by psi. So psi really does give you the kinetic energy. It's exactly the kinetic energy. Its value is not the kinetic energy, but its curvature divided by its value is the kinetic energy. Okay, so that's the way you'd normally approach a problem, but we're going to do it the other way around, just to be obnoxious. Right, we're going to do it as you would do it in Jeopardy. We're going to start with the answer and see what the question was. Okay? So, suppose the answer, psi, is the sine of x. What was the question? Okay? What was, well, the mass could be anything, but what was the potential energy function for which this is the solution? Now, can you see how we can approach that? If we know sine, the function, psi is sine, then we know what the kinetic energy is everywhere. And if we know the kinetic energy, then the potential energy has to just be the minus of that, so they'll cancel out and keep the total constant. Okay, so we need to find the kinetic energy for a sine wave. Okay, so how do we do it? Brian? Okay, we have to. It's this. We want to go that way. So first, we're going to get the kinetic energy, and it's going to be, as you say, the curvature of psi divided by psi multiplied by this constant, which has the mass in it. Okay, so there are the easy parts, and you have to help me with what the curvature of the function is. So what's the second derivative? It's minus sine. Does everybody remember that? The first derivative is cosine, the second derivative is minus the sine. Okay, so that's going to be the kinetic energy. Now, can you simplify that? Ela?
C over M.
Right, it's C over M. So it's a constant. It doesn't depend on what X is. So what was the potential energy, Ela? How did it vary as you moved? So the potential energy must have been constant. So it's independent of X, so it's a constant potential energy. So a particle out in the galaxy someplace far away from everything else, it doesn't change, right? So it's got constant potential energy. So bingo, we got, now, so by the Jeopardy approach, we found out how to solve the equation. If you have a constant potential energy, the wave is it's a sine wave. Can you think of any other functions that might work? Cosine would do exactly the same thing. So a sine or a cosine would do that. Okay, now here's an interesting one. What if we have sine AX? Now what does that mean to have sine AX? It means that the wave got shortened if A is greater than 1. For example, the sine of 3X would look like that. Okay? Now, let's do that one. What do I put in the numerator? The second derivative of sine AX. Yeah? It's minus A squared sine AX. And what does that say about the kinetic energy? It's a constant, but it's A squared times what it was the first time, right? That is to say, again, it's like the first one. It's going to be a particle out in free space somewhere. But what about its kinetic energy compared to the first? If it's A was 3, it would be 9 times greater. It's a particle that's moving faster, that has more kinetic energy. So it has a shorter wavelength, right? That the higher kinetic energy would have, and it's proportional to 1 over the square of the wavelength. And I think you already knew that, didn't you? That wavelength has to do with energy of particles, but it goes with the square of the inverse wavelength. Okay, now here's another function. How about e to the x? Suppose that's the wave function. So what do we put in the numerator there? E to the x. That's an easy one, isn't it? I always like that. Okay, now what do we say about the kinetic energy? Constant. But negative. Whoa! So that's not 1/2 mv squared, right? It's negative. The kinetic energy is negative, right? So that, what's the problem? It's a constant potential energy higher than the total energy. Let that sink in a second. The potential energy is not a function of position. It's the same for all positions, right? But it's higher than the total energy. Isn't that neat? How about psi is e to the minus x? How's that going to work? Same deal. Okay? So again, it's constant potential energy higher. Now, that sounds weird. That can't be, right? But that's not just a curiosity. It actually happens for every electron that's bound to a nucleus. Every electron in you spends time with negative kinetic energy. Every electron that's bound, right? Because at large distance, when the electron is far from the nucleus, right, the potential is a Coulombic potential. It looks like this. Here's the nucleus, right? It goes down, 1 over r goes way down, right? But as it comes out here, it becomes flat. So all the space out here, it's constant. The potential energy is constant. But if the electron is bound to the nucleus, as atoms are, as electrons are bound in atoms, then its total energy has to be less than this, right? So it'll stay in here, right? But if you have that situation out here, the function has to be an exponential, right? Because it's a constant potential energy out here, higher than the total energy. So it's not something weird, or you may consider it weird, but it's real, and it happens for every electron that's bound. Okay, now, let's try the Jeopardy approach. We tried, you know, sine, cosine, sine AX, e to the X, e to the minus X. Let's try an arbitrary shape. So let's take this one. Okay, that's not a function you know the name of. Okay, but let's see if we can figure out what the potential energy was that would give that as a solution of Schrödinger's equation. Okay, so let's first, and we're going to do it the same way we did on the previous slide, by going through, find the kinetic energy, and then the potential energy must be upside down, whatever the kinetic energy was. Okay, now, the kinetic energy is proportional to minus the curvature over the amplitude. And we're just going to decide whether it's positive, zero, negative, or maybe we can't tell from by looking at the curve where it is. So for different points on here, we're going to find out whether the kinetic energy is positive, zero, negative, or indeterminate. Okay, so I need some help. How about at that position, in the middle of that circle, right in the middle of that circle? We need to know the curvature divided by the amplitude. Well, the amplitude, I'll help you, is negative. How about the curvature at that point, right in the middle? It's zero. It's an inflection point. It's curving one way and then it's curving the other way. So the point I'm interested in has zero. So what's the kinetic energy there? So the kinetic energy is zero. So we'll make that one gray, the zero color. Okay? Now, how about there? Now we have a big amplitude. But the curvature there is also zero. It's curving one way and then it curves the other way to go through the bottom. Right? So there it's gray also. How about here? What's the kinetic energy there? Pardon me? Why do you say undefined? Ah, because it's a division by zero. Right? So we really don't know there. So we'll leave that one blue because we don't know. Okay, how about out here? Out here, notice that that's not, the value there is not zero. It's coming down asymptotically, but it never quite gets to zero. Right? And if we guess that it's curving down like this, sort of like an exponential when you get way out, then its curvature is positive, right? And its value is positive. So the kinetic energy would be negative. But for now, let's not worry about that. Let's leave it undeterminate, okay? Which is what you said. Okay, now let's look up at the top there. How about there? The curvature is curving down. Curvature is negative. The value is positive. How about the kinetic energy? So the kinetic energy is positive. We'll give that a green one. Okay, how about here? Same deal. Do you think the kinetic energy is higher there or lower there than it is up here at the other one? Well, it's hard to tell. It's less curved, but it also has a smaller denominator, so it's sort of a subtle question as to which one's bigger. Okay, we can't tell just by looking with our eyeball. How about there? Now it's curving up. Yeah. Matthew? Yeah. It's positive. Why? Because the curvature is positive, but the value is negative. And then you multiply by a minus number and you get positive. Good. Okay, so that one's green also. Now, can you generalize, if without having to go through all the thinking about it, can you just look at those points and what do those points have in common? Yeah? They're all what? Well, they're going to be places that are negative that are greater than or equal to zero. Uh, Yeah, that won't do it, though. Can't hear. No? They're curving. It can be curving down, or it can be curving up, in this case. And both are positive. But how can you tell? It's curving toward the baseline. So if it's up, it's curving down. If it's down, it's curving up toward the baseline. Got what I'm saying? So if it's curving toward the baseline, then the energy is positive. Now, how about this point here? How about the curving there? Dre, what do you say? It's curving toward or away from the baseline there? It's curving away. It's sloping toward, but it's curving away. Right? And its value is positive. So it's got a positive curvature and a positive value. The kinetic energy there is what? Negative. Okay. How about here? Quick answer? Negative. How about here? The second one from the left. Negative. Curving away from the baseline. Okay, so curving away from the baseline means the kinetic energy is negative. Right? Now, we can put this information all together to see what the potential energy must have been. It's the opposite of this, right? And it looks like this. Right? Here and here, the total energy is the same as the potential energy, and we have zero kinetic energy. Everybody see that? So these two points, right? But then where the green points are, we have positive kinetic energy, which means the potential is lower than the total. And in the red points, it's the other way. And now we can see what it must have been out on the left, right? It must have been way up there. Okay? Good. Does that do it? And also, this one that we weren't sure about here, right? Must have been down here. Yeah?
Was the total energy proven to an arbitrary point?
No. It had to... where zero is of the energy scale is arbitrary. But it had to match wherever I drew the potential, the total had to be the same here, because that's where the kinetic energy is zero. Right? So notice there are two plots on top of one another. One plot is the wave function with zero in the middle. The other plot is the energy, the potential and the total energy. But they're both function of the same thing, the position of the particle. So it's convenient to draw those two different graphs on top of one another so you can compare one to the next easily to see where the slope should be zero or whatever. Okay, where it crosses the total, where the total and the potential energy are the same and so on. Got it, everybody? It's really quite easy. Yeah.
Should we be able to generate values?
No.
Or just be able to say that it's positive.
All we did here was say positive and negative. Right, but and notice that we said with those two green maxima that it was hard to tell which one was more kinetic energy. But if two had the same amplitude and one was more curved, then that one obviously has more energy. That you can tell, but a thing like this is difficult to tell. But you're going to practice with this on the problem set, and you'll soon become acquainted with how these things look. Yeah.
Why is total energy down there?
Why is total energy here?
Yeah.
Well, it could be any place. I could have shifted the total energy up to the top, but if I did, I'd have to change this curve up to the top as well so that they cross here, where the potential and the total are the same. And in fact, what we take for zero on the energy plot can be any place. And it's very different. When you're talking about a spring, you say zero energy is its normal distance. And if you stretch it, the energy goes up. Or compress it, the energy goes up. Okay? But if you talk about Coulomb's law, you say two particles when they're infinitely far apart are zero. And then as they come together, they go down in energy or up in energy if they have the same charge. So you can make any place the zero, but the crucial thing is that the total energy has to cross the potential energy there. I could have shifted this up or down if I wanted to. It would mean the same thing. I can't shift it right or left.
Because kinetic energy is zero.
Because we know that at this point, where there's no curvature but an amplitude, the kinetic energy is zero. Okay? Derek?
For the leftmost blue circle, so what is the sign of the kinetic energy?
It's negative. Because it's curving away. It's an exponential. It's curving away from the baseline. Well, it's not. No, it's not truly an exponential. It's in this for this particular potential. It's very, very high potential energy, right? Which means that the total energy is here. It's a very high negative, very high negative kinetic energy there. But it's not very curved. The reason it can be so high is that the denominator is so very small. Psi is so small. Yeah. That was, you didn't know there. Because as it crosses, notice if there's not a discontinuity in the potential energy, which in real cases there never is, then you have to have the same, you have to have the same kinetic energy a little bit to the right and a little bit to the left, or almost the same kinetic energy. Which means that when you cross zero and the denominator changes sign, you also have to have an inflection point and the curvature changes sign. Right, so there was an inflection point there. And I just got it here by continuity, this one. Right? That if it was a smooth potential, it had to be that way. Okay. Now we've been working with this jeopardy approach, right? Start with the wave function, find out what the potential is. But now we want to go the other way. We want to have a recipe that will give you a solution of the Schrödinger equation using a guessed total energy. So you're going to guess in this program, you'll guess the total energy and see if you're right. And as you use it, you'll get better at guessing. Okay, now let's see how we can do that. We can rearrange here's the Schrödinger equation. This is the first part is the kinetic energy, then the potential energy, which we're given, and then the total energy, which we're going to guess. Okay, we can rearrange that to look like this. Leave only curvature on the left, and it's easy for you to, you know, first move V over to the right, then multiply by psi, multiply by M over C, and change the sign for the negative sign. So that's just rearranged, okay? But this is a formula for curvature if you know the things on the right. Now, how many of the things on the right are you given or do you know? The constant you know, C. Okay? Mass you were given. How about the potential energy? That you're given. The formula for calculating the potential energy. The total energy you're not given. You're going to have to guess that. And now how about psi? Now, remember, if we at any given point, we can make psi equal to 1. Because we can always multiply the whole thing. Right? Scale it up and down. We talked about that earlier. Okay, so we can say at some point the value is 1. If we also, so then at that point, we can do this and we know what the curvature is there. Okay? If we've guessed right. Okay? Now, suppose that the problem we're working on, we have reason to believe, starts with slope that's zero or very as near zero as we care. Okay? So if we knew the initial slope at this point, we know the slope, which says we'll go to the next point if it were straight. But it's not straight, it's curved. But if we know the curvature, then we know where the next point is. And we know the slope at the next point. You got me? So now what do? Now you go to that point and find out what the curvature there is. And that'll take you to the next point. And then you go to the next point. So you could do this by hand, but it would be very tedious. But the nice thing about this program that you can run, it actually does that and continues the function. Just using, this is bound to satisfy Schrödinger's equation. Why? Because we're using Schrödinger's equation rearranged to calculate it. It's got to work, but what could go wrong? Yeah. Can't hear. It's possible for slight errors if you go point by point. That's true. And if you choose really high energies in this program, you'll get that problem.
If you're doing this, how do you know what to choose for the
Ah, well, you have to guess and see whether you're right. But how will you know when you're wrong is what I mean. It'll go to infinity. Remember, it's not allowed to go to infinity. It has to stay finite. Right? We know it'll curve away from zero when the potential is greater than the total towards zero. That's what we just talked about previously. And since those things on the right are given, the recipe allows tracing it in steps from the initial value, where we assume it's got a value of one, and an initial slope of zero. If it has to be such that we can start with zero, but are the problems we're working on all do that. And we guess E. Now, so here we're going to use Ehrenmeet's Goldilocks. And sorry that this is taking a minute more. Leave if you have to, but let me just show you this. Or you can do it tomorrow night. But this is the problem. So we guess 21 kilocalories per mole. And we know that between those points, the kinetic energy is positive. What does that mean? It's going to be curving toward the baseline. So it's going to look something like this. Right? And we know that on the other side, it's going to be curving away from the baseline, but it mustn't go to infinity. So it's got to, in these danger regions, where if it just keeps curving away, 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 it'll go to infinity or to negative infinity if it keeps curving away. Right? So how do we get away from that problem? By having it come down to zero. Right, so the denominator is very small, and you can have a very big energy, negative energy, without having any curvature, any significant curvature. Okay, and it's got to be that way on that side. So here we guess 21, and we press the button on Ehrenmeet's Goldilocks, and it traces out this curve. Good. Good guess. It's doing just what we wanted. Right? Great. So the trouble was, it had too much curvature down up there. It was curving too far down, so it couldn't save itself. It just kept going down. So it was too much curvature, too much positive kinetic energy, too high a guess. Total energy was too high, or too hot. Right? So we'll lower it to 20. And here it comes. Good. 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 What about this one? Too cold. Right? But what do you know? The true value has to be between those. And it has to be closer to the hot than the cold. It's got to be just right. So that's what this program does, okay? So that's it. Yeah.
You were able to tell in that one of those slides where the total energy equals zero from the inflection point.
Just a second, I want to save this. Okay, come ahead.
In that picture where you showed the total energy, we had the circles, you know.
Yeah.
You were able to tell where the total energy equals zero from the inflection points. Is that what you were using?
I knew that at this inflection point and this inflection point, the kinetic energy was zero. I didn't know it at that point because the denominator was zero. But here and here, I knew the total energy was the same as the potential energy, so the kinetic energy is zero.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Get the program to work on my computer. I don't know what program I'm missing.
Did you get the... What happens when you download that?
This?
Yeah. When you download that?
I got a file which I extracted.
Do you know that...
Okay.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Good.
I just wanted to tell you that I have a class that ends at 10:15 on old campus.
Oh, that's fine.
I'll just be like, sorry.
It's okay.
I was assigned to like the last thing, the Hooke's three guesses. Did we not get to that today?
We did, yeah. If you're, we only got, there was one what was it? Yeah, the end of that slide we didn't get to.
Okay, yeah.
So if you had that part, you don't have to
like
do it.
Mine was like the very last one, like hooks through guesses. So I don't think
you
do.
That part we didn't get to.
Okay.
If you step through that, you'll see what it is.
Okay. So
and if we didn't get to it, you don't have to do it, obviously.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.